Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
The 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read from verse number 22. Matthew chapter 15 and the 22nd verse. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Notice verse 23, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. She crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 25 says, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I preached for a little while this morning from this subject. When there's not a word, worship. When there's not a word, worship. Would you ask the Lord to help us together? Jesus, I'm asking you today for your great help, Lord, in the delivery of your word. The breaking, God, of the bread, dear God, that is, God, very life unto us. I'm asking you to touch every heart, dear God, today as we receive that word into our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Would you lift your voice and your hands with me one more time? And let's just make a joyful sound of praise unto the Lord. Somebody do it with joy. Gladness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. The story of our text this morning is the story of a mother that has mustered all the faith that she can muster. She's gathered all of the strength that she can gather together. She's gathered all the courage that she can gather to come and ask Jesus for a miracle. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 22 says that she was a woman of Canaan that came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Understand that this simple request of the Lord came not with ease or comfort. Rather, it required her to climb over hurdles and walls and barriers that had been erected in her society. She had to push through walls of racism. She was a member of a race that had been an enemy and in opposition to Canaan or to the children of Israel as they occupied the promised land. Walls of the accepted norm that a woman would come to a man and make request of him. She leaps over that wall. Walls where there were cultural barriers between Jews and Gentiles. She climbs over all of these and more to come and make a simple request of the Lord concerning her daughter who was devil possessed. Yet in spite of all of these barriers, racial barriers, cultural barriers, societal barriers, in spite of all of these, she rallies her strength. She gathers her faith. She comes with courage and boldness, and she comes to the Lord, and she simply says, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Understand that while she's doing it, while she's mustering the courage, gathering the faith, getting the strength to come to the Lord, she's hearing the voices around her of those that belong to the entourage of the Lord saying, send her away. She crieth after us. And we don't want her in our sight, yet she came anyway and offered her petition before the Lord. You would think that a woman who had taken such courage, such bold steps, a woman who had climbed over such walls and obstacles and pushed through such barriers of racism and culture and society and all of these things, that you would think that the Lord would have responded in a little different way than the way He responded, except Scripture says in Matthew 15 and 23 to her request, to her petition, to her gathering of faith, to her coming in courage, to her climbing over walls and barriers. Scripture simply says, He answered her not a word. There is no reply to her petition. There is no response to her request. There is no acknowledgement of her faith. There is no type of credence given to the courage that she has displayed, and that instantaneous miracle that she had imagined. That immediate response of the Master is forfeited with that simple phrase, He answered her not a word. May I say to this congregation on this Sunday morning that if you've ever engaged the Lord in prayer, if you have ever come at any time gathering your strength, bringing your courage, bringing your faith, bringing tenacity and every kind of feeling that you could put together to the throne room of God, if you've ever come at that point and that time and in that way, maybe you've also heard, as this woman heard, simply silence, no response at all. What a feeling that it is when you come to the Master and you've gathered strength and you've gathered courage and you've got your faith built up and you've come to Him and said, God, I need You to do this. I need You to take care of this. I need You to provide. And yet there is no answer given. There's no response and there is no reply. May I say to you that at those moments when you've prayed and you've not got an answer, those moments that you've sought God and you've not heard a response, and those moments that you have pled before the throne and heaven was silent and there was no reply to your intercession, it seems to fly in the face of everything you've ever known about God, everything you've ever thought about God, everything you've ever imagined about God, everything you've ever heard preached about Him. Because you see, from the time we are small children, we are told that God speaks with a voice of authority. God speaks with a voice of power. And when God speaks and His word goes forth, things happen. Things take place. There are things that come together in ways that it could not come together. There is authority. And we can go to the very foundation of Scripture itself, and we can look in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and we read there in that very first chapter, 10 times it is recorded there in that first chapter, and God said. Our Bible opens with the authoritative voice of God. It opens with the commanding voice of God. It opens with a voice that speaks into darkness and into chaos and formlessness and brings out creation. It is a voice that penetrates that darkness and brings light. It is a voice that speaks into the chaos and brings forth the beautiful tapestry of creation that you and I now observe. And here we are. We believe in that authoritative voice and that commanding voice that when God says, "Let there be," there shall be. The psalmist recorded it like this in Psalm chapter 29 and verse number 3 when he said, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh cedars." Verse 7. "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve." Ladies and gentlemen, there's power. There's authority in the voice of God. When God speaks, darkness flees. When God talks, light comes. When God opens His mouth, chaos is vanquished. And that sense of togetherness comes in upon us. And the peace that it brings, there's authority in the voice of God. For when He speaks, it is done. And when He commands, it stands fast. Yet now we stand in a place where we've climbed over walls and we've leaped over hurdles and we've pushed our way through every opposition imaginable, and we've gathered our faith and we've brought our strength and we've got our courage, and here we are now kneeling in the presence of God. We need a miracle and we need it now. Only to not hear that voice, and only now not to hear a sound of its utterance, a voice that we know brings beauty and a voice that we know can bring miracles and peace, and yet here we are. There is not one word spoken from God. And thus confusion now comes to our mind. Question marks begin to rise. What about this God that speaks with such authority? And why does He not speak in my case and situation right now? You see, we know about God. We know that God's desire is to communicate with His creation. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8 tells us that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Our Bible begins not only with the booming creative voice of God, but in that third chapter, it tells us that God wishes to be in communication. He wishes to be in fellowship. He wishes to speak. He wishes to talk. He wishes to come in amongst us. And His voice is lifted. We read it in the book of Revelation when we read of John on the Isle of Patmos. And there He is in that isolated and lonely place. And Scripture, it's recorded 5 times. "I heard the voice. I heard the voice. I heard the voice." Because God desires to communicate. God desires to speak. And yet here we are now. We've come to a place where we've climbed over walls and barriers, and we've stepped through hurdles, and we've gathered our courage, and we've got our strength together, and we've mustered all the faith we've got, and we've come to God and we've said, "God, I need an answer. I need You to answer right now. I need You to move at this very moment. I need You to step into my crisis, my dilemma, my situation, my darkness. I need You to come into my family. I need You to step into my home. I need You to step into my world right now. I need You to work a miracle now." And we pray and we lift our voice and we muster all the faith we can muster. And yet we are met with that deafening silence of God, where He answers not a word. A God that can speak into the darkness and light comes does not answer me. The God that can command chaos to flee and order to arise, that God does not speak to me. A God who set for his very founding principle that he wished to be a God of communication and speak with those that he had created, yet in this moment that I have come to pray and when I need a miracle so desperately, that God does not respond, and that God does not answer. He answers not a word. I hear nothing from him. Can I get a witness in the house right now? Is there anybody here that you've ever climbed over a wall? You've ever leaped over a barrier? You've ever mustered all the faith you could muster? Gather all the strength you've gathered, could gather, but yet you heard not a word from God, and you got not a response, and you heard not a reply from the Lord. It doesn't make sense. It does not go together. This is not what I know of God. This is not what I've been taught about God. I've been taught that it is God's good pleasure to give his children the kingdom. I have been told that you ask and you shall receive. I have been told that you ask, you seek, and you knock. And yet I've come now. I've come with my need. I'm climbing over this wall that says I shouldn't be able to get through, but I've mustered my faith and I've got my courage, and I've come to him with this anticipation that if I ask, I seek, and I knock. If I come with persistence and insistence, and if I come with my faith intact that he will respond, that I'll get an answer, and yet my prayer room is silent, and yet my prayer closet is still, and I hear no answer, and I walk out of my prayer closet the same way I walk in, and I walk out of that prayer chamber the same way I entered in. I'm preaching to somebody now. I'm talking to somebody's heart that you've met where this woman has met. It's not that your faith is not there. It's not that your courage is not there. It's not that you've not got the strength to get through. You've done all of that. You're simply at that intersection where God has not answered one word. And now the enemy would take occasion. The enemy would take occasion. Does anybody understand you have an enemy of your soul? Does anybody understand that we are in a warfare right now? Does anybody get it that we're in a struggle? And when it's a spiritual battle that we are dealing with. And as we come into that prayer closet and we're praying and we're pouring our heart out before God, and there's silence, and it's a deafening silence, and he doesn't respond and he doesn't answer. The enemy rises up now. The enemy rises up in my ear, and I hear something. It's not the voice of God, but it's the voice of my enemy that says, aha, ah, yeah, you thought you had faith, didn't you? You thought that if you just climbed over all the obstacles and pushed through all the barriers, and you asked and you sought and you knocked, that you was going to get an answer. Well, see, it doesn't really that way. The preacher has not really been telling you the whole story, and it's just the moment that you're in right now that God has abandoned you. Oh yes, God has walked out on you. God's angry with you. That's what it is. God is angry with you. You have done an atrocious and a horrible thing, and God is angry. Oh, I wish I could get a little witness here right now, because I believe that I'm reaching into somebody's spirit and somebody's soul, that you've heard the voice of the enemy, not the voice of your prayer being answered, but you've heard the voice of your enemy that said that God's angry with you, and God surely doesn't love you, and God's forsaken you, and he's abandoned you, and he's walked out on you, and he's left you in your mess, and he's left you in your confusion, and he answered her not a word. Well, I've come on this Sunday morning to tell you this is not the moment to walk away, and this is not the moment to abandon my faith, and this is not the moment to abandon my courage, and this is not the moment to throw up my hands and say whatever thing I've heard about God's not true, so I might as well give up. This is the moment to say, you know what? I climbed the wall. I pushed through the barrier. I got over the obstacle. I came to Him. I didn't get an answer, but I still believe that God's able. I still believe He's a provider. I still believe He's a supplier. I still believe He meets needs. I still believe His voice is authoritative. I still believe that He speaks into the darkness and He brings out light. I'm preaching for somebody's faith right now. I'm preaching for somebody's confidence right now. Just to hang in there, because God does answer prayer. He does. So the enemy is not prepared, though. He's not prepared for that stickability. He's not prepared for someone that just won't give up in silence. He's not prepared for one that won't back away when they don't get a response. He's not prepared for one that'll just hang in there. Notice what this woman did. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 15 in verse number 23 that He answered her. He answered her not a word. There's not a nod. There's not a response. There's not a sound. And His disciples came and besought Him, "Send her. Send her away. Tell her to go away." But notice what she does in verse 25. "Then came she." Now let's get the picture. Let's get the picture. She's climbed over walls. She's leaped over hurdles. She's pushed through all kinds of opposition to get to the Master. She's made her petition known. And the disciples said, "Send her away." But what she did is this. "Then came she." Does anybody see it now? She shortens the distance. She said, "If this wasn't close enough, I'll get closer. I came this far, but I'm not giving up any ground. I'll shorten the distance." And she moved a little closer. Hear me now. The devil would like to send you away. The devil would like to tell you, you just might as well walk away because you got nothing but silence. But we need to serve notice on our enemy today. I'm shortening the distance. If I didn't get a response here, I'll get closer. If I didn't get a response at this position, I'll get a little closer. If I didn't get it here, I'll just get a little closer. But I've walked through too many valleys, and I've climbed over too many walls, and I've pushed through too many barriers to give up any ground now. So I'll just come a little closer. I'm preaching to somebody. You just need to come a little closer. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. You just need to come a little closer. Then came she. Then came she. Then came she. Oh, friend, the devil's trying to send you away, but I'm going to get a little closer. In other words, "then came she" has the idea of drawing nearer. She's already come. But because of the silence that she's met with, she draws a little closer. She gets a little nearer. In other words, now watch, watch. She moves from intercession to intimacy. Her intercession was, "Oh, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." Now she moves to intimacy. She worships the Lord. She moves from just simple petition to a personal relationship with God. She said, "I came interceding. I came making a petition. But if it don't get done that way, I'll get a little closer and I'll get real intimate with the Lord. And I'll worship Him." and I'll just pour my heart out before God. Hear me. Don't let the enemy make any space between you and the Lord. If intercession don't get it, say, I'm going to get closer and I'm going to get intimate. If petition don't get it, say, I'm going to get closer. I'm going to get a personal relationship with God, because God's silence is not denial. He's just waiting to see how close we'll get to Him. And I want to serve notice on my enemy. I may not have got all the prayers answered the way I wanted them, and I may have heard a little silence, but I'm coming closer. I'm coming closer. I'm coming closer. I'm coming closer. Does anybody remember that verse in the Bible? Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. So I'm not going to let my enemy chase me out of my prayer place. I'm just going to get a little closer with God and pour my heart out to Him more than I've ever poured it before. She came. She changes her tone now. She's been in intercession. She's been in petition. But now she moves and she shifts from intercession and petition. She changes to worship. Verse 25 says, then came she and worshiped Him. Her worship said, I'll wait, but I'll not give up. Her worship said, I'll stay here, but I'll not quit. Her worship said, I will stay in this place and I will continue to magnify Him. Notice what she says. Three times in her speaking, she calls Him Lord. When she says Lord, she's saying, you're the master, you're the ruler, you're the controller over everything. But get this, two of those three times she calls Him Lord after there was silence. She didn't quit calling Him Lord just because He didn't answer her a word. She said, I may not have heard anything, but you're still Lord. I may not have got a voice, but you're still Lord. I may not have got an answer, but you're still Lord. Come on, can anybody still call Him Lord when you haven't got the answer? Can anybody call Him Lord when He's not come through yet? Can anybody call Him Lord when He's not spoken into your life and He's not changed the situation? Lift your voice, lift your hands and say, Lord, You are able. Lord, all power in heaven and earth is given unto You. I wish there were some worshipers in the house right now that just lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Come on, somebody come a little closer now. Somebody come a little closer. Somebody come a little closer now. Somebody come a little closer. Hallelujah. Somebody come a little closer. Woo! He answered her not a word. She said, I'm going to get closer. I'm going to worship You, Lord. I'm going to worship You, Lord. I'm going to worship You, Lord. You see, worship is faith on steroids. I said, worship is faith on steroids. It takes a whole lot of faith to climb over barriers and hurdles and walls, whatever they might be, that tries to separate us from God. It takes a whole lot of faith to climb over all that stuff and push your way into the Lord. But I tell you what, worship is faith that has gone to another dimension, because worship is when there's silence. I just keep praising and I just keep worshiping. You talk about where faith is demonstrated and faith is expressed. You can get faith to get over a lot of walls and a lot of barriers, but it's faith that's expressed in worship when God doesn't perform the way you think He ought to perform. When God doesn't do what you think He ought to do. When God doesn't produce the way you think He ought to produce, that's when you throw your hands in the air and you just start worshiping the Lord. Now in my worship, can I just deal with something right now? Because the enemy would like to tell us that faith is just a bunch of noise, commotion, and emotion. that worship is nothing more than a bunch of mindless chatter, that is just a bunch of hype and an expression of emotional people that's lost their mind. I beg to differ with you, honey. I beg to differ with you. Worship is far more than noise and commotion and emotion. Worship is one of the greatest vehicles in the expression of faith to God. When you just throw your hands in the air, throw your head back and say, Lord, you are God, and I worship you, and I praise you, and I magnify you, and I glorify you, and I give you honor and praise. It's worship that expresses faith unto God, and faith gets God's attention. Would somebody just throw your hands in the air right now and come a little closer and just worship. I'm going to worship Him. Notice now. Silence had met her petition, but personal relationship brought her closer, and she worshiped the Lord. But now notice verse number 25. Then came she and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But look at verse 26. He answered. He answered her not a word in her petition and her intercession. But when she got closer and worshiped, He answered. Worship broke the barrier that had held its restraint on her life. Worship pushed its way through. And worship expressed this level of faith and intimacy toward God. And He answered her. He began a dialogue in verse 26. He answered, is it not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs? This is the first conversation He's had with her. He's been talking to the disciples in the midst of all of this, but He's not had any conversation with her. Now she says, we're getting somewhere. I came with my petition. I didn't get an answer. I came closer and I started worshiping. And her worship brought about a dialogue and a conversation between her and God. Can I tell somebody, if you want to open a conversation and a dialogue with God, just start worshiping Him. Just start lifting your voice and magnifying God. And God starts this little conversation. It's not meet to take the children's dog. And she responds and says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now this is looking more like the prayer that I have envisioned, because prayer is conversation and it's worship that opened the door. Does anybody want a conversation with God? Would anybody like to have dialogue with heaven? Then come a little closer and worship Him. God wants to carry a conversation on. God wants to talk. God wants to speak. God wants to have conversation with us. And worship opens the door. Notice now what He says. Verse number 28. Jesus answered. It's the second time since silence. Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It was not her faith that climbed over the racial walls and the walls of culture that were so deeply ingrained, nor the societal norms. It was the faith that was expressed by her worship that opened the door that got her the miracle. Can I tell you, if you need a miracle, all you gotta do is just start worshiping Him with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. It was her persistent faith that got the answer before God, because when God's silent, it doesn't mean He's still. He's just waiting on my faith to arise, to get a hold of Him, and I shall do it with my worship unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me all over the building? building this morning. And would you lift your hands and your voice to the Lord? And would you just begin to worship Him across this building right now? Just begin to worship. Just begin to worship Him now. You haven't got a word, but worship. You haven't heard a response, but worship. You've been petitioning. You've been doing intercession. You haven't got a word. But would you come a little closer now? And would you worship? Would you just begin to worship Him? Oh, hallelujah. 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 I wonder on this Sunday morning, you'd just be gut-wrenching honest with me today and with God. You've walked into this building, you've prayed and you've asked, and it seems like there's nothing but silence. The enemy would try to drive a wedge, send her away. Send them away. Don't let them occupy this space. But there's a tenacity in your spirit today that you just come a little closer and say, when I don't get a word, I'll worship. When I don't get a word, I'll just lift my voice in praise unto God. If you're here in this building today and you need that, you want to come just a little closer, would you just step out of that pew into that aisle and just down these aisles toward this front and just lift your hand to heaven? Would you just come a little closer now? And would you just lift your voice to the Lord, and would you begin to worship Him all over this building? The devil would try to send you away from your God. The devil would try to take you out of your place and tell you God's failed because there's nothing but silence. I need somebody just to come a little closer now. Somebody just to come a little closer now. Just need you to lift your voice and your hands and just let faith begin to emanate across this building. All across from the front to the back and side to side. You just throw your hands in the air. There you go. There you go. You're worshiping in the face of silence right now. You're worshiping in the face of that lack of response. But I need you to come a little closer and worship. There you go. That's it, young lady. Mom, Dad. Come on, put your hand in the air now. Tilt your head back. Declare He's still Lord.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285. Or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.